Exodus 3, number 8. Have your Bible in the afternoon. A few verses from this chapter. Exodus chapter 3, please, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, of the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back side of the desert, into the mountain of God, even the heart. So I'd like you to notice, please, the emphasis here in these next few verses on the book. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush was not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes, draw off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are meeting. And I heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow, and I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore behold the cry of the children of Israel, which come unto me, and I have also seen oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should bring unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, Certainly, I will be with thee. Verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Now this be verse 15. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. That's what I'm going to read. Thank you, Lord. There is a verse you can look up sometime in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses, there he leads just right. He's going over the order of the tribes of the nation of Israel. And when he comes to the tribe of Judah, amongst other things that he says, he speaks of the goodwill of him that dwelt at the birth. And we believe from that, dear saints of God, that Moses never forgot this experience, likely over a period of at least 40 years, when he thought of Exodus chapter 3. I would like to just bring a few simple thoughts to our hearts this afternoon about this book. I would like to suggest the interpretation. Maybe some of you will love it better. You would agree with it. I would like to agree with it. I'm going to make this suggestion. just an observation. It would seem, dear brethren, that the bush speaks of the nation of Israel. It's likely that in many of these scriptures, the dispensational setting is the interpretation of the passage. And I'll tell you what I mean. That bush that day that Moses saw, it was burning, but it wasn't consumed. And that answers to the nation's history, past, present, and future. What nation in the nations of earth today even has been so persecuted and so put down, right in the very context of where he is, down there for hundreds of years in Egypt? There were those who would try to put the nation into the ground. The affliction, the furnace, the suffering, all designed to put them out and blot out their name. God upheld them. And right through the times of the Gentiles, and right through this very dispensation in which all of us camp, they have been without a country for centuries until 1948. And today, they're a power reckoned among the nations. I'm aware that they're there in unbelief. But we believe that in tribulation days, when the great Superman, the false Christ, the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, the king with a fierce countenance, and these outstanding men are going to try under the devil's hand to put the nation into the ground, that they'll never be heard of or seen again. The burning bush is not consumed. God will uphold them, and they will become the head of the nations again. And in millennium time, God, to his people, will reign and deliver to the ends of the earth, as far as the earth is healed, is concerned. Well, having said that then, I would like to just make a few applications. And I would like to make the first application to Moses. He's been 40 years or thereabouts in the backside of the desert. He is married. He has brought a family into the world. He's there as a shepherd. And he's been learning God in an outstanding way. And it's coming to the end of the 40 years. On this day in the Mount of Sinai, around the desert, he's attracted to this group. He has seen the bush likely for years. That little bush that grew there on the desert floor of that particular part of the world. He likely saw bushes burning before. On this particular day, he sees the bush burning and it's not consumed. Have we ever seen that phenomenon? Outstanding to see something burning, ongoing, but not consumed. And I would like to suggest that that's Moses himself. After all, he fled Egypt. And I know the story, but I want to use it in application. And Pharaoh and those associated with him tried to put him into the ground, but he fled Egypt. And now, he's about to go into a new phase of life for his world. And this chapter and the next one, before he goes to Pharaoh, he's getting a call to leadership. He's getting a call to service for God that never before he had gone through. And now he's going to understand in a very experimental way that the crushing of leadership will come in upon him. And he's going to know what it is to have his back against the wall and others trying to put him down. But God is teaching him. And you will support him. And you will approve him. There are other things that we could look at. Maybe the generation of pictures, the generation in the very real sense that was in Egypt that time. When Moses was in the backside of the desert, Aaron's there with them. And they're going through the rigors of the road. I would like to go a little further. I would like to suggest that it was a picture saints all down the road. The supper of the Lord Jesus. And let's bring it to our dispensation. Let's bring it to our life right here at the end of 1986. It's a picture of the believer as he makes his way through this life for his God. And all the opposition that our brethren have been bringing to our attention, and the great rigors of the road, and the difficulties that come into life, be it family life, assembly life, individual life, wherever life. But yet, upheld by power divine, so the Lord, do not say to the truth. I would like to just point out briefly to you that it speaks to us by way of illustration of the Lord. Back to the sun. Moses is no longer for us.
God has got his attention. Moses draws aside and he advances and he makes his approach to the bush, and the voice comes back and says, Moses.
This place we stand now is really good. As we approach the person of the Lord Jesus Christ today and develop a little further what our brethren have been bringing to our attention this morning, let us think a little of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Dear brethren, who has gone through the suffering and the opposition and the difficulties on the vicissitudes of life, and yet he was upheld by power divine as a perfect man as he moved from Bethlehem, from Nazareth, and on through to the end of the road. Now I take it that this proof is just a lovely book, but it's low and fair. And it brought out about the bush, that was the person of dress, its position. And then I would like to think a little of its attraction. And then I would like to think a little of its demands. And then finish with its promises. Isn't that simple? Each young believer here today, will you take this away with you? A simple message we trust to your heart that will help us all. Live for the Lord Jesus in this day. The Lord Jesus, the little bush, its position, its attraction, its demand, and its promise. Have a little about its position. Wouldn't it speak to us so keenly? We dwelt in his palace hold of eternity with his Father God, who never had a beginning, who will never have an end. Eternal. And yet one day at the end of the ages, in the purposes of God, creation, into the world he arrived, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem the world. At this time of the year, the Christian world so-called celebrates the Nativity. And it's commercialized, I know. And it could be that there's no scripture in the Bible to tell us that he was born at Christmas. But whatever time he was born, it's tremendous to recognize that there are millions today recognize our Savior who became incarnate to arrive in the school of time. I see by way of illustration, and we don't teach doctrine in the Old Testament. We illustrate it. There's the greatest thought that pass off. As far as the incarnation of the Lord Jesus is concerned, it's foretold in the Old Testament. It
Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. It's foretold in the poetic books of the Old Testament, Psalm 40. Though I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. We believe, brethren, that that is spoken into divine persons. Never was a human ear at that stage heard that statement. But before he came, in the Hebrew letter, chapter 10, it's quoted. Oh, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, through thy law, through my heart. The prophetic books of the Old Testament are absolutely more difficult. Let me quote the one and pass on, it will suffice, Micah 5. Blessed art thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, O little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, whose voice forth hath been of old, from everlasting. Rather, there's one verse to tell us in the Old Testament that he had a life before he came here. He came by incarnation, never by human generation or creation or formation. He assumed the body. Sin of Christ. We arrive here. Hebrews 2, our brother. Roman 2, that this morning in his prayer. Partaker of blood and flesh. Laid hold on the seed of Abraham and passed the angels by the position of our Lord Jesus. Think for a movie of his arrival in Bethlehem. No motel, no hotel, that is true. Oh, I hope today that that little verse, like you see it there, as a picture of the Old Testament illustrates the incoming of our Savior. You're reminded already of everything that this world can offer as far as material things are concerned with weak people. There are many today who don't have it, but our Savior, the cattle of a thousand hills were his, and he arrived here a homeless stranger, no room for them at the inn. Born in Nazareth, and trying to develop a safe soul for 30 years of overhead. As a carpenter, healed of Nazareth, King of the Jews. There's very little said about it, one statement made about the 30 years that we know of, according to the book, Luke chapter 2. Wish you not that I must be about my father's things. You can't think that that was all he said. He left all of it. And there he grew in the vicissitudes of life, a stranger to his brethren, and he knew what it was, reverently speaking, to be raised in a family where there were unsaved ones. He came publicly into ministry, where he chose to prove that the city of his church, the Galilean ministry, was visionary. He knew who was there. We have been reminded today, haven't we, in fulfillment of the Old Testament and the sin offerings of the Old Testament, Jesus also, that he might sanctify his people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Oh, the suffering. Oh, the death that he died. Listen. It's attraction. We believe it's a miracle that the bush burned was not consumed. We believe that it was speaking that the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the Lord, had to see that
today many people who live in 86 Bellum. There are rooms and leadership. Very discouraged. They feel there's no point for him. I have talked to Bellum recently, this very month. And they have carried the battle to the gate for years. And they have tried to do what's right for God. And they have kept the assembly for God. But the conditions are tremendous. And they're beginning to say, there's no point going on. I'm going to give up and settle down. And let somebody else do it. Brother, are you here today? I want to encourage your heart. I want to put flesh stamina into you. Be a leader today. Hold on for God. Maybe you feel others are not with you. Moses is getting something that will stay with them for 40 years in leadership. And if the historian is right and the calculations are right, he was a leader for 2 million plus people that left the nation of Egypt.
Trying to bring you up. So I will approve you.
Meet you. And power to that. Can I leave this promise with you, brother, today in assembly fellowship? Certainly I will be with thee for 1987. If the Lord be not come, take fresh courage. Take a fresh start. A fresh laying hold upon God. And by his grace,
I know parents today in this country. Unfortunately, you are.
The boys and girls have been raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
They're going to be teenage men. Some of them are married and settled down in their 20s. They're
crushed. And the fire's burning. And they can say, oh God, I could take no more.
They're all they professed to be saved. They were baptized. They got into the fellowship. But they're not going on today. They're like me. They're the parents and the saints.
They sat down with parents here recently, not in California, but in Canada. Did their best for their boys, their girls.
And the Lord followed them. That's the new law, we were preparing you.
You hear today like that. That's just a cold moment.
Very tender. Let it be. When you to this point of it, it will have been.
You've struggled for years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years.
You're not saved yet.
The old devil would come and would want to burn the bush out.
Oh, I want to tell you.
Power behind it.
The bird. It will burn up. There you go.
Tell you this quick, sir.
1972 will be that year today.
Mr. Frank Knox, an honored servant of the Lord.
And the very now, I want to see him. But if that's like one day in hospital, and if only God has sat by his side in 56 years of age,
says, Father, thank God for this girl he has been saved this year.
You're going to go only that moves Frank Knox in this audience. Usually the praying man. They believe all. I tell you honestly, there is a deep pain for the spirit for at least 6 years. Lost in sin. You do well. Majestic and lovely and dignity.